And I'd like to draw your attention to 1 John chapter 3. Put a finger there and flip back to the Psalms, Psalm division 37. Would you stand with me, please, as we read these two different passages of Scripture? 1 John chapter 3 and Psalm 37. In 1 John chapter 3, I want to look at verses 19 and 20. And hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. This is talking about a know-so salvation. I know that I'm saved. Verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Going back to the Psalms, 37, two verses here as well, verse number 23 beginning, Psalm 37, 23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the promise of your word. Thank you for the opportunity we have tonight to look into your word. And I ask you, Father, that you would give us that anointing tonight that we need. As the speaker, that you would anoint my lips, my mind, give me clarity of mind and speech. Father, I pray that you would give the anointing to each of us in our hearing and our heart, that we might be receptive to thy word tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. For a title, it would be very simple. A defeat need not destroy us. A defeat need not destroy us. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Now, condemnation would come to us from at least three different avenues. One of them, the first one that I want to mention tonight, is a startling avenue that defeat or discouragement or condemnation would come. And that is because of physical malady or because of mental, I could say it, disorders, but that probably would take our mind to things that I don't necessarily mean. Mental difficulties. You say, well, Brother Ziegler, what do you really mean by that? Well, I have seen it far too many times that the enemy of our soul, and don't ever think that we can relax from the enemy. He is constantly wanting to do something to God's people, to God's children. It's his goal to do something to God's people and God's children. It's his desire to destroy and to hurt God through destroying his people. And it may be an unfair way or an unfair avenue for the enemy to work, but so many times in the midst of physical problems, the enemy's standing at the door knocking. I've seen people with chemical imbalances that seem to think that they were lost eternally because of the anguish that the enemy had brought to their mind. And you could quiz them all day long about where it was that they sinned, and they do not have any point to reference where they sinned. But they still felt that God had abandoned them because of sin. physical needs of various kinds. I thank God for the senior citizens that are here tonight, but I tell you what, the enemy doesn't stop at a certain age. Again, I've seen it far too many times that the people who have been the strongest through the years spiritually get into a physical state of age and decline, and the devil comes as a flood and tries to destroy them because of the weakness of the flesh. So many times I've seen it happen. Probably the most startling to me was when I was still perhaps a teenager or in my early 20s, when my dad shared with me that my grandfather, my pap as we called him, was having some spiritual battles. It hit me like a ton of bricks. What do you mean, pap having spiritual problems? Well, here it was. Physical things had come in. He retires, and just a short time after retirement, he was diagnosed with cancer. I forget how many tumors he had removed in just a year or two. It seemed like it was coming in upon him. But I never dreamed in my mind, in my heart, any time that there was a possibility that the enemy would use that time to attack him in his mind to think that he was lost. But it happens. Since then, I've seen it time and time again. Maybe some of you are aware of it as well in your own personal lives. The mind is a wonderful thing. But the mind is also a battleground of the enemy, whether we're healthy or not. And when we are down physically, it becomes that much more because our flesh is too weak to be able to withstand. And so many times people will succumb to the tempter's thoughts as he works in the mind. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. The second avenue that will bring condemnation to the heart is willful disobedience. That's not hard to understand at all, is it? We all understand that. And I would probably be able to venture a guess in saying that we've all experienced that. Otherwise, we wouldn't be saved. Because we have to know that we're a sinner before we can get saved. And then from that time on, any time that there's a willful transgression, God comes in His faithfulness and condemns our heart or brings that conviction to us to let us know that things aren't right. We've done something wrong. But then there's a third avenue that would take place that I believe is following the lines of these two texts. And that is falling into temptation. Now, do understand that there is a difference between falling into temptation and causing temptation to happen. You understand what I mean? When we know that something is a temptation to us and we begin to toy with it, and then we stumble and fall, that really goes back to number two, willful transgression, willful disobedience. I know we might want to argue our way all the way around it, but really, really, that's where it belongs. But I'm talking about temptation when it comes to us, and somehow in the midst of a weak time or a difficult time, there is that stumble, there is that troubled area, and we recognize, oh my, I just messed up. A.F. Harper said that It is possible for the sanctified person to yield to temptation and thus fall into condemnation. One may be overcome at a weak point in a moment of sudden attack from Satan. We do have to understand that this kind of defeat is not a sin of ignorance. Because had the Christian thought about it, they would have known. We would have known that that was an error, that was a wrong move. So it's not necessarily a sin of ignorance. but it still must be distinguished from an act of willful sin. You say, well, what happens when that thing, when that takes place? What happens when a person stumbles and falls? Well, a failure of this kind still brings condemnation. But condemnation does not necessarily mean that one is immediately considered to be a backslider and a practicing sinner. Now, hold with me here, because when we get so wrapped up in the doctrine of heart purity and perfect love and the perfect sinless life that follows the life of a holy person, we can get wrapped up in that to where we really fail to understand that these situations are still a possibility. Now, if you keep falling into that same snare, into the same temptation, then there is a problem there growing and developing into willful disobedience. But for a person to be trapped in the midst of temptation at a weak point in their life and they stumble and fall does not mean that they are considered to be a practicing sinner. God is not ready to leave us on a moment's notice. The feeling of condemnation is not that God is reminding us that we have just broken everything and we've lost out. No, His condemnation is a reminder to us that He stands there waiting for us to come back to Him. I look at Peter. We have a lot of critical words for Peter sometimes. Probably the way and the measure that we judge Peter, we don't want to be judged by the same. Because sometimes we're pretty hard on Peter. We've really given him the runabout. But one thing I notice about Peter, I know that Peter sinned. I know that Peter messed up. I realize that Peter three times denied the Lord. But if we were to be in his shoes, I wonder if we'd have done anything differently. I mean, really in his shoes. So we don't really need to be too hard on Peter. But one thing I notice in the book of Luke, as Luke gives the account of the third time that Peter denies him and the rooster crows, in Luke's account, it tells us that the Lord turned. Now, there's a crowd of people around. Do you understand this? There's a crowd of people around, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. You say, well, what's so significant about that? The Lord knew exactly where Peter was. He can pick us out of a crowd. And when Peter denied him on the third time, the rooster crowed, the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter caught the eye of the Lord, and he went out and wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. He was sorrowful for what he had done. Now, let's back up. What kind of a look was it that the Lord gave to Peter? Knowing what we know through the Gospels of Jesus Christ, what kind of a look was it that he gave to Peter? Do you think that it was a look of condemnation? Of harsh condemnation? Or was it a look of compassion that smote Peter's heart to make him weep with bitterness? And through that, Peter came back and became the stalwart preacher that he was following the day of Pentecost. I believe that's the way it is when Jesus looks upon us. If we are caught in the midst of a temptation, we stumble, we trip. Peter had no desire to do that. He told Jesus just hours before, I'm ready to go with you to the death. That was the true desire of Peter's heart. That's where Peter was living. But he was caught in the midst of the circumstances of life and he stumbled, he tripped, he fell. If our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. If we are truly repentant, God knows it and deals with us in mercy. My kids have probably prayed more than once that I would deal with them in mercy. And being the figure that I am in their lives, especially when they were younger, in relationship to who God is to them later, or now and later, I at times did show them mercy. And I always tried to show them compassion. Oh yeah, I still set the plow deep. But I did my best to let them know that I loved them even in the midst of it. God deals with us in mercy if we're truly repentant. If we have been this way, in this way defeated, we should at once, at that very moment, acknowledge our defeat and confess it to God, ask for forgiveness, and keep on going. Keep on going. Never give up our faith. Probably every sanctified Christian has had the need of God's mercy sometime in their experience. Dr. J. Huffman writes it this way. He said, "Throughout my Christian life, I have made it a practice to write anything which was wrong promptly upon discovering it. There have been many blunders on my part," he said, "but the blessed Holy Spirit has been faithful in all his dealings with me." In the language of the late Joseph H. Smith, "I have not slept outside of Canaan since the day that I entered that experience many years ago." If you don't understand what that means, let me paraphrase it here real quick. When something has come between him and God, he did not put it off until tomorrow. He took care of business right now. Immediately. Jeff Foxworthy is a comedian out in the world. He's a very funny guy. But he said something one time that is very profound, even for the Christian. He didn't say it in the Christian sense, but I like what he said. He said this, "There's no shame in falling. The shame is in not getting back up." You say, well, he's not a theologian. But I believe that that is what Jesus wants out of us. He's not there to kick us when we fall down. He's there to lift us back up. The devil will do his best to condemn us in our heart. He will do his best to discourage us in our soul. He will do his best to work at us in the midst of our mind. But in the midst of all of those areas, God is standing by in mercy and compassion with a hand outstretched. I don't like it when people say that God is a hard God. God is a loving God. And then on the other hand, you get tired of people saying, well, God is a God of love and there's nothing ever hard about it. He's never hard. I can't believe he'll send anybody to hell. No, I can't believe God will send anybody to hell either. But God said we can go to hell if we want to, by rejecting his plan. He's not sending us there. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, David, you had it right here. Such an encouragement, David. Thank you for writing this. He shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You see, here it is again. A defeat need not destroy us. You're wandering around in the midst of uncertainty. You're wandering around in the midst of heart condemnation. If you cannot put your finger on a sin that you have committed that has not been covered by the blood, God knows our heart and is greater than that condemnation that is in the heart. If you can put your finger on something, immediately stop and confess that to Jesus Christ. Ask for His forgiveness and keep right on going for Jesus Christ. Never give up your faith. Walk faithfully with Him. You see, we're human. Holiness does not do away with the human element of the frailty of our flesh. I've heard it said this way, that if there's anything about holiness, it gives us a reverse gear where we can back up and say we're sorry, confess things, and keep right on moving forward. Staying away from sin. Abstain from the very appearance of evil. Doing our best to keep ourselves spotless. But if in the midst of a temptation, a time of weakness, when the enemy comes in as a flood, in the midst of our weakness, and you can be sure that he is a military genius in the spiritual sense. He knows when you have a problem, a weakness, a difficult time, perhaps a sickness upon you physically, and he can come in like a flood in the midst of that time and do his best. But at that point, Jesus Christ stands with his hand already outstretched. Peter, Satan hath desired to have you, to sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you. And when thou art converted, come on, strengthen your brethren. He's not looking over us with a whip, but he's looking over us with a heart of compassion. Come on. A defeat need not destroy us. Let's stand.